Hey, sports fans, it's world champion Andy Gamper, Mike North. Punch this number in your phone right now. If you're driving, pull over. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicapping site in the country, VegasScoresAndOdds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need with expert handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan, yours truly, and many more. Check out the homepage of VegasScoresAndOdds.com for a tote board with your buddy. Follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter and dial up 1-800-808-3419. It's 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419. Or go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com.
What follows is for news and entertainment purposes only. Any use of the forthcoming information in violation of any federal, state, or local law is prohibited.
Mike North, you are on fire.
You know anybody else that good?
No.
No, they'll tell you they are. They may think they are, but we're documented every single week. The eye is on us.
That's
and I
right.
ain't talking about the eye of CBS, the public eye. The first feeling I got when I won a bet was elation. The worst feeling was when I lost a bet and I wanted to jump off a balcony.
Give me a quick betting tip.
Yeah, do win and don't lose, but usually it doesn't always work out that way. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before you even laid the bet down. So you gotta be positive. Vegas Scores and Odds is the landing place that gave me an opportunity to handicap. They let me show what I could do. And there's packages, there's free picks. What does Vegas Scores and Odds do when you perform? They reward you and they take care of you, and that's why we're ready to do this show.
The Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now.
We're all feeling crazy sadness right now. Because earlier today, Los Angeles, America, and the whole wide world lost a hero. And we're literally standing here heartbroken in the house that Kobe Bryant built.
That's how Alicia Keys started the Grammy Awards on Sunday night, just a few hours after learning that legendary basketball player Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and seven others died in a helicopter crash in Calabasas, California. My name is Aldo Gandia. Welcome to Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North. And Mike, you and I usually celebrate sports and gaming on the Advantage, but it seemed a little more appropriate that we begin this show by paying respects to Kobe Bean Bryant, who was born August 23rd, 1978, and passed away January 26, 2020.
Yeah, Aldo, and it's good to have you back. I know you were at the Senior Bowl. I know you found out about it when you were on the plane. And yesterday, when I first saw it, you know, Twitter broke everything. I mean, before, ESPN had five stations. They didn't even get to it. They were showing the Pro Bowl and everything else with five stations before somebody said, hey, somebody better get into the studio. I think they caught everybody, you know, this, of course, caught everybody off guard. I ended up going to a wake yesterday for a friend of mine who was 62 years old, who was a policeman in Chicago, who was one of our customers back in our 20s. His dad was a cop who used to come in our place, Mike Papik, who passed away at 62 from early Alzheimer's. So I'm on my way to this to drive into Chicago from where I live, and I got the Kobe Bryant thing on. And when I first saw it, I thought, please lie, it just, maybe somebody made a mistake, maybe somebody got hacked. That's the first thing I thought. Then I start seeing that it was Kobe Bryant. Then I start hearing from other, and this is something that I think we're going to talk about maybe in the future weeks, the role of the media. Okay, if you're getting it wrong on Twitter, okay, and you're just a regular Joe, you're getting it wrong because you're hearing it from people who are supposed to be getting it right.
Right.
And I was hearing on ABC, all four kids on ABC, I heard yesterday, were in the helicopter. and were killed. All four. And then on CNN, they made a mistake. So the stations that are supposed to be above it all, okay, were getting it wrong, while the regular Joes, for the most part, were laying back. That being said, I am so sad. It staggered all of America. His daughter being in there, and the three other families, you know, the helicopter, the man that drove the helicopter, plus the two other families, plus Kobe, nine people, just staggering. And I know that down the line to let the experts, you know, do this, but they're in a fog going 185 miles an hour in the mountains. And there was, I believe, I'm not going to speculate, but I believe when everybody else's helicopters were down, Kobe wanted to go. It's his helicopter. And they ended up going, and tragically, it's one of the saddest periods in sports history and in human history in this country, for sure, because this kid was only 41 years old. You know, whenever you say, I'd love to trade places with that certain person, which I've never said, just stop and think, because you know what? Aldo, for instance, and Aldo, I'm sorry, I know your age, is 61, I'm 67. We've led a charmed life.
Yep.
Kobe Bryant, at 41 years, did so many things, accomplished so many things. He was always in a hurry, but he was always aggressive and always a competitor. I never had any malice towards Kobe Bryant, ever. Except when, Aldo, they would try to compare him with Jordan. And then you know how I get with that. But that's just sports stuff. This here is one of the worst periods, and I know, in the NBA, has ever had. I mean, most of their MVPs are still alive. And I know what it's like to lose idols or people you look up to. When Elvis died, I was numb. Numb. He was only 42. When Maravich dropped dead on the basketball court playing pickup at 40, I cried. And I was thinking about this today. When you and I were around, when we were born, we got an early indoctrination of this stuff when our president, John F. Kennedy's brains were splattered all across the backseat of the convertible. And then with Elvis. And then later with Michael Jackson. So I think for the kids, and I said this on Twitter, 25 or under, who always are, they're the millennials, and they're always telling the baby boomers, hey, old man, hey, old man. Here's what I would tell them. They all got older today. And they all want to get older. And there's no guarantee. I'm proud to be an old man after seeing what I've seen over the last couple of days.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and you're right about the media. It's just become a jungle out there. It was first reported by TMZ before the authorities had an opportunity to inform the families of the victims and so forth. And so that had to be, you know, for Kobe's wife to hear about it on the radio or on social media, wherever she heard it, with the other families involved, for them to hear it that way is just totally disrespectful. And for the major news organizations, I was not aware about, you know, CNN and some of the other outlets that you mentioned misreporting on stuff. It's just an incredible shame and a tragedy. It should not happen.
It shouldn't happen, and it did happen. And I know TMZ, though. I mean, that's their job. And I know that people are going to be mad at them. But at what point do you hold on to a story? I know that somebody else, I think TMZ was probably saying, if somebody else gets it, they're going to run with it. It's a competitive thing where, unfortunately, they don't think about the families. And now today we are all thinking of the families. I do say that Kobe Bryant did a wonderful job of turning around his persona. He had problems like everybody else. You know, I was going through all the list of celebrities. And you know what ends up killing some of them or most of them? Money. Having too much money. And when you have too much money, whether you're Michael Jackson or Elvis Presley, or yes, Kobe Bryant, where you can afford your own helicopter instead of driving, things sometimes take a weird turn because you have so much money. And because you feel like you're almost invincible. When they told Kobe Bryant, I mean, he saw it was foggy. But he probably had flown this helicopter in fog before. I don't think it's the first time it's been foggy in L.A., and I guarantee you it wasn't the first time it was foggy for Kobe Bryant flying in that helicopter. So when you have money to buy a helicopter, it gets you placed fast, but you got to understand that there's other perils. I have never wanted to be in a helicopter. You know, I have enough with the plane, you know. But it's just, at the end of the day, I think the kids, the 13-year-olds, his daughter who had so much ahead of her, it almost leaves even me speechless. It does. Because it's you're right. How is the wife, how are all the families going to overcome this? And I would say this to everybody out there today, that, you know, I heard yesterday that people were saying maybe they shouldn't play the NBA. And I was against that because Kobe Bryant, Eldo, just like Jordan or other people who were Warriors, would have played in honor of the person, which I think they did yesterday. And it was the right thing with the 8-second clock, the 24-second clock at the beginning of games to honor him. That was the right thing to do, and I applaud the NBA for doing what Kobe would have done in honor of somebody else who might have perished, who was a basketball player, and put on a show.
Yeah. Here's a news report that I just found at the BBC, the British Broadcasting Company, known for their sterling reporting of stuff. They actually mistaked LeBron James for Kobe Bryant while reporting on the fatal helicopter crash. So that just shows you how irresponsible. You know, when you and I grew up and journalism was at its best, you had to have multiple sources on things before you went. But now, because of the internet and social media and wanting to be the first out there to report stuff, you go out there without double and triple checking facts and you get this kind of stuff. You know, the audacity for them to report LeBron James was in that helicopter is just, it's criminal, really. It really is.
Yeah, it is. And here's another thing, that when we were younger, and I don't know if everybody listening remembers this guy, Walter Cronkite, right, when Kennedy got assassinated, I'm watching on the TV, and he's starting to cry. And we're going, wait a minute, what's wrong with this guy? Okay, the president got shot. But in those days, you never saw anybody cry on TV. Mm-hmm. They had to take the, I guess you would say, upper hand and try to help everybody else get through it. Well, those days are gone, and I understand it, because a lot of these people were very close with Kobe Bryant, especially the L.A. Laker media, sure, the NBA media, and things like that. That's a whole different ballgame. But you're right. The disrespect of stories. I mean, I see where a lady called them the L.A. N-words on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
Yes, the L.A. N-words on a TV show. It's on Twitter. And now she's saying she meant Nakers. Well, wait a minute. She said N-I-G. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's all over Twitter. So, I mean, everybody in haste. Maybe she misspoke. But yesterday, everybody was in a hurry to be wrong.
Unbelievable. And I just wanted to acknowledge some of the other people on the helicopter. These are confirmed. John Altobelli, a longtime basketball coach in Orange County College history. He and his wife and named Carrie and their daughter Alyssa were also on the helicopter. Alyssa played with Kobe's daughter Gianna on the basketball team. I believe that they were headed to a basketball game. Christina Mauser, who was the top assistant coach on the basketball team, was called the Mamba Girls basketball team. And then the pilot is identified as Ara Zobanyan. He was the pilot and flight instructor. Those are the names that I have confirmed, and there's a number of other names missing. I mean no disrespect to those people, but for everybody and their families that were on that helicopter, we offer our condolences and wish for better days ahead. I mean, what else can you say? It's always...
Well, I know for the Bryant family, there will never be better days ahead.
Yeah.
And I don't care. You can dress it up. We can try to say, I mean, they're going to have to trudge on just like the other families. They never do.
Yeah.
And like I tried to, I was telling BB this yesterday, they shouldn't call the games off.
Right.
Because, the NBA is one of those leagues where I don't think you run and hide. He was big internationally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in China, the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy was a monster as far as his persona. He was one of those guys that, to score 60 points in your last game,
come on.
Come on.
Unbelievable.
I mean, 81, I get the 81. Okay, he did that earlier at Madison Square Garden. He had 100. He was the second highest ever behind 100 of Wilt. To score 81 was cool. But to score 60 in your last game when you're basically finished, or you're supposed to be finished, is one of the great, great final games you'll ever see, if not the best final game you'll ever see. I know Babe Ruth in his last year with the Braves, hit three home runs in one game. But then he fell off the shelf. This guy, for his final game, made shots 60 points, which now that you look back, that's mind-boggling.
It's wild.
That's wild. Yes. There's only one guy that I think would have a bigger effect. Well, it's really unfair to say that, but if this happened to LeBron, I think there's a host of celebrities. But as far as an international star, Kobe was that. And I like the way he turned things around. He had that unfortunate situation in Colorado. The young lady never decided not to go to court. Nobody's ever going to know what happened. He was charged with a felony. But I also know this. I remember him for being a great dad. I don't have any kids. Mm-hmm. And my dad was sometimes around, sometimes wasn't. To see him interact with those young ladies, his daughters, and the story that he told on Jimmy Kimmel, when Kimmel says, well, you know, what about, who's going to carry on your legacy? You know, people have been asking Kobe about that. He goes, my daughter.
Nice, yeah.
She's going to go to the NBA and kick butt.
Yep.
And that is what I'm going to remember him for, being a damn good father, being with his kid, taking other people with their kids to his training center to get the next generation of kids to get into basketball, to have contact with an athlete like Kobe Bryant. He's as big as it gets, and he was the biggest in L.A.
Yep. Absolutely. And speaking of his family, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar talked about Kobe Bryant, and that was one of the first things that he mentioned.
Kobe was an incredible family man. He loved his wife and daughters. He was an incredible athlete. He inspired a whole generation of young athletes. I had the privilege of being there when he scored his 81-point game, and it was something that I will always remember as one of the highlights of the things that I have learned and observed in sports. Kobe, my thoughts are with you. Absolutely. Rest in peace, young man.
Michael Jordan sent out a statement reading, I am in shock over the tragic news of Kobe and Gianna's passing. Words can't describe the pain I'm feeling. I loved Kobe. He was like a little brother to me. And he went on to add some more words. But yeah, the tributes.
He was an impersonator. Yeah. Kobe was a Jordan impersonator.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was.
He was. The way he stood, the way he acted, yep. The way he handled himself in the press.
Mm-hmm.
I covered Jordan my whole career,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And I still continue to. I find him a fascinating guy. But if you look at Kobe Bryant and you watch them play, the way they stand at the foul line, the way they bring the ball up, the way they joke around, the competitive desire. He was as close to Jordan as you could be. He was not as good, but he was close. And he did some things that Michael didn't even do, like putting up 60 in his last game, putting up 81. Those are giant-sized numbers, folks. And don't forget the 5 championships. And don't forget playing with, you know, I remember, and this is the truth, I did say this, Kobe can't win without a center.
Mm-hmm.
So once Shaq left,
mm-hmm.
I said to myself, okay, well, Shaq was an MVP. I go, what are they going to do now? Because they can't win without a center. People used to always give me the BS. Then they got a center, Pau Gasol, and they won 2 more.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? Yeah. They got Pau Gasol, and they won, and he was a great center.
Yeah, he was.
So that's the only negative, and it's not a negative. He
right.
needed another helper.
Yeah.
Even Kobe did.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, what you found out happening once Pau Gasol left, at the end of Kobe's career, the Lakers were horrid.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so the guy inspired so many people. But like I said earlier, for the 25-year-olds and under, this is their first one.
Mm-hmm.
Eldo and I seen a million of them. I listed today on Twitter, guys. I mean, mean, people that I respected as a... Listen, I was into all sports growing up. I don't think that's any revelation to anybody. And you know what? I love overachievers, and Kobe was an overachiever because he had talent but worked like he didn't. And I always respect overachievers because that's what I feel I've always been. I've had to overachieve. I've had to give that extra thing. I think you felt the same way where you've come from. You came from Humboldt Park. The next thing you know, you're at CBS.
Yeah.
I come from Uptown. The next thing I know, I'm on the score. We're two ragamuffins.
but
because we had competitive desire because of sports, I was not intimidated to go into that arena. And because of watching athletes like Kobe Bryant, Bill Russell, I mean, Pete Maravich, the day that he died, I was at the hot dog stand, I cried. So I understand what the kids are going through. I cried. He was my idol.
Yeah.
He was younger than Kobe. He was 40 years old. And it was a shock because he dropped dead on the basketball court playing pickup. To say, different way of dying, but it still has that, that effect. But he did not have the encompassing, worldly, international stardom and winning that Kobe Bryant had.
That's
Kobe was a special, special guy, man.
Yeah.
He really was. I don't usually kin to athletes from outside of Chicago too much. I've always been a Chicago guy. But, man, you got to admire what the guy did. You got to admire how the guy became such a great family man, which I'll never know about. He had four kids that he took good care of, and his wife, who they had their issues, like a lot of married couples do. And they got it together.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is his legacy.
Yeah, when he was 17 years old, he decided to go pro. And at the age of 18, he made his debut with the Los Angeles Lakers. And after his first professional game, he sat down with legendary Lakers announcer Chick Hearn and talked about playing in the first game at the Forum. I have a clip.
Speaking of high school, how big was the gym you played in at Marion? How many people?
About 500 people.
500?
About 500 people.
This seats 26,000.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
What about Shaq?
I mean, Shaq talk every day. Every day, whether it's in practice and he's blocking one of my shots or I'm getting a layup on him or something like that. You know, we're talking, we're giving advice to one another, we're pumping each other up at the same time.
He really, really is a nice man.
Yeah, he is. He's like my older brother.
You have an older brother?
Shaquille O'Neal.
What an incredibly composed 18-year-old kid, right? I mean, that's amazing.
Well, Jiggets and I got to interview him before the McDonald's All-American game. I believe it was 95 or 96.
Uh-huh.
It's the only time I ever got to interview Kobe Bryant. I got to interview Kobe Bryant once and Kevin Garnett twice. And both men, or both kids at the time, were being panned as going, getting out and going into the league too early. This was brand new, remember. And both of them, I got off the phone. I'll never forget when me and Jiggs got off the phone, Dan and I, with Kobe. After practice, for the McDonald All-American game, the way he presented himself for 10 minutes with us on the score, and me and Jiggs just looked at each other. We go, there's no way this guy's not ready. Just the way that he acted on the phone. Then we get Garnett on later on. And Garnett, it's the same way. I said, well, then there's got to be, you know, a form of bigotry or that these reporters are all saying these kids are too young. Because I talked to both of them, and they sound like 30-year-olds. And then when you see them perform, they played like they were in their prime. As soon as they broke in. Now, Del Harris is the one guy that stopped Kobe Bryant. Otherwise, he would have had more points. He didn't play Kobe the first year, if you remember. Played him very sparingly. And people were upset. But as it turned out, everything worked out, maybe saved his legs. Don't forget, he played 21 years. At 17, he started. And he had been playing in Italy before then. So I also got this today, guys. I listed just off the top of my head, not that it was an easy thing to do. I listed off the top of my head the people who had passed away from air flight.
Oh.
Newt Rockne, the Notre Dame coach.
Wow.
Tony Lima, if you won't remember him, folks, look him up, champagne. Tony Lima was on his way to become a superb golfer, died in a plane crash. Leonard Skinner, we know what happened to them.
Yeah.
Marshall Football, Buddy Holly, Payne Stewart, who died while his plane was in flight because the oxygen got cut off, Patsy Cline, Carol Lombard, who was collecting war bonds. Her plane went into the side of a mountain, Roberto Clemente, John Denver, Amelia Earhart, Kenny Hobbs, who was a rookie of the year in 1962 for the Cubs and then passes away during the offseason. The Russian hockey team, the Big Bopper, Richie Valens, JFK Jr. How about this? Remember Roy Halladay, Jim Croce, who was on his way to make millions of hits, Otis Redding, Rocky Marciano, Artie Murphy. All these people, it's so weird. The play, for the most part, very minimal team flights, and let's knock on wood on that, but individual, the airplane industries to certain big-time stars is not big-kind.
Tooch at Stevie Ray Vaughan, the famous musician.
From a helicopter at Alpine Valley.
Right, right. Oh, my gosh.
Remember that?
Unbelievable. Lots of reports coming in on how to pay tribute to Kobe Bryant. One thing that was suggested is that perhaps all the NBA teams should retire the numbers that he wore. And another one that's interesting is that perhaps they should transform the NBA logo, which most NBA fans know that the silhouette on the logo is Jerry West, the all-time great Lakers star. And he, Jerry West was always uncomfortable being that persona on that logo. But now people are saying maybe it's time to, you know, change the logo and have the persona of Kobe Bryant on the NBA logo. What are your thoughts on that, Mike?
I'll tell you the one I don't like. I'll be straight up.
Mm-hmm.
The Mavericks retiring his number. I think that number should be there for somebody who wants to be the next Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
He played for the Lakers. He didn't play for... I understand what everybody wants to do. And I understand that in baseball, they did it for Jackie Robinson. But Jackie Robinson had another distinction. Okay? He was treated like a mutt for his whole career because he broke the color barrier. I really think the numbers should stay. I don't think they should be retired. I have no trouble with him being the silhouette if that's what they wanted to do. I don't think they'll do it. I think he was bigger than the silhouette. I think Kobe Bryant's got his own silhouette.
Yeah.
You know, just like Jordan. I mean, we all know what Jordan's silhouette is, and it's not even the NBA logo.
Right.
It's him jumping in the air with the ball in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I keep it the way it is, but I know there's going to be some ways to honor him. I just would not like to see them retire his numbers on other teams. If there's a number 24, or you loved Kobe growing up, and you want to be play, and you play for the Mavericks, and you go to him, I want to play for you, but if you don't give me 24, that's my number, man. That's Kobe. I love them. I don't know what they do. It's a nice honor. I think it's a knee jerk. I do by Mark Cuban, but I understand his heart.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't have done that. As far as the silhouette, like I said, I'm fine with it if they want to change that, but I don't think they will. But I think they're going to do something. I think they're going to do something. This guy was too big.
Well, one thing that is definitely going to happen, according to Jerry Colangelo, the Hall of Fame chairman, is that Kobe Bryant will be a first ballot enshrinement at the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2020. He's going to go in along with guys like Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett. That's going to be one hell of a class and one emotional ceremony, huh?
Yeah, that team could still play.
Yeah.
I mean, next year, if Kobe was still here.
Right.
I'll take them for one game. Let them get in shape for 3 weeks. You got Duncan. You got Garnett. You got some Warriors that were coming there.
How about it?
So it just has been a bad taste in everybody's mouth. It's going to stay that way for a little while. And like I said earlier, I think the millennials all got older today.
Yeah.
I think they all got a little experience that they never thought they'd have. They saw one of their heroes perish at an early age.
There you go. All right, let us talk about something else.
Pretty hard to, isn't it?
Yeah, really.
Yeah! You know what? In honor of Kobe, I'm going to get this right. We are 7 above 500. I understand we're going into the pick segment, but you know what? In honor of Kobe, this is my Kobe Bryant 5-star basketball camp pick of the day, ladies and gentlemen, and it goes by the way, and a great job by Dwayne Wade and all the NBA stars coming out with their stuff on Kobe Bryant, too. I just found that all good, and I found the Jordan stuff good and everything else. But tonight, we have a game between the Miami Heat and the Orlando Magic. The Heat are -6. I'm only picking one game today, folks. I got some other games on our great sponsor, VSA All Sports. Follow at VSA All Sports and at Vegas Scores and Odds. And the game I have for you today is the Heat -6 against the Orlando Magic. The Magic 21-26, the Heat 31-14. They got a hell of a team. They've done a great job this year. But I love the Magic +6, getting those points. And I'm not going to say it's being upset. I have them losing by 3. So the Magic tonight, one game, folks, +6. Don't forget, we're back with 3 games on Wednesday, so don't worry about that at noon. This is our 100th show today, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. I'm very proud of that. I know Eldo is too. I remember when Eldo and I were looking at each other thinking, will we last 100 minutes? and we became great friends.
That's
and
right.
I'll tell you what, it's been one of my, I got my other things because of Bears Barroom, the AM 1000. A lot of things have opened up for me. I'm a Bears Barroom guy, always will be. I've worked for some powerful organizations, but Bears Barroom is as important as any place I've ever worked. And I just want, worked, played. so I'm going to take the Magic +6. Aldo, back to you.
All right. Well, you've been red hot with the college basketball, right? What's your record now over the last,
15-5 over the last 30 days. I picked the college basketball game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin versus Iowa on VegasScoresAndOdds.com. Go to the front page like Aldo does. Hit that thing. The records are there.
That's right.
There's no lying. There's no lying. And if I'm having a bad run, and you'll see, I'm not in the college basketball all-time section. I mean football, because I had a bad football season this year, especially in the bowl season, going 15-26.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we don't lie over there. So make sure you check the packages. All the picks are documented. Believe me, they don't want to see. There's other guys that want to see their names on top. But Aldo caught that 15-5. I got one up there. But the NBA pick I saved exclusively for us. I've been doing pretty good in the NBA, too. So take that NBA team and the Magic. And if you want to inquire on making some more money, check out Vegas Scores and Odds, folks.
That's right. Man, and you know your NBA basketball. I mean, I remember, Mike, seeing you play at, was it the Chicago Stadium or United Center in a celebrity basketball game?
Chicago Stadium. I got a great story about that.
Okay.
I'm at Chicago Stadium. We're going to be in the three-point shootout, celebrity. It's my first time.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to make my mark. Okay? And I'm known as a playground guy in the north side, sandlot, softball. I'm telling this on the air for the first year. I can shoot the basketball. I played for Truman College. I play A-ball and stuff. But these people, they're all listeners. So now comes the three-point shootout. Rick Callender's in it. Howard Sudbury's in it. Norm Van Leer's in it.
Wow.
I think there was a bunch of people. Luke Canellis. I don't know. A bunch of people. There was like 14 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was me and Van Leer at the end. And I outshot him.
Wow.
I won the three-point shootout. I got it on tape. I watch it once a year like Christmas. and I look like a dork. I'm wearing Zubas. I got a little bit of a thud. I was letting the fan get the best of me. But I did win the three-point shootout. And I'll never forget, I got home. And I said, beat. And from that point on, people started taking me more for being legit and telling the truth. And then, because I actually did it. And it was a big night for me. And that's the night, right before I go on, June Jackson comes up to me and calls me a racist.
What? What happened? What was that all about?
I'm getting ready to go, and I'm at the snack bar. June Jackson, Phil Jackson's wife, who I've been hard on, saying he's the doorman. She goes, well, I think you're a racist. I'm June Jackson. She comes right up to me.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay? So you'll take it from me if it's okay if I say it. I was so fucking happy when he fucking divorced her ass.
Oh, my goodness.
I really was. You're going to walk up to somebody you don't know and say something like that? Bye-bye. I'm sure she made some money, though.
Oh, probably, yes. Wow, I didn't expect that.
Did you enjoy that? That's quite a turn.
Merv loved it. Tooch loved it. Everybody in the chat room is putting...
She walked right up to me. I'm June Jackson. She goes, I think you're wrong about my husband. I think you're a racist. I go, well, you're wrong about both counts. Okay, so you're wrong about one count. I think your husband is very fortunate. Okay, but you're wrong about the racism stuff. Okay, I criticize everybody, like Dave Wonstead, I said, and everybody else. Okay, then I find out later he divorced her. I threw a party.
My goodness. That is wild. That is wild.
Well, he wasn't in the hot tub with Jeannie Buss unless June was underneath the water.
That's right.
He left her to live in Malibu and sit in the hot tub with Jeannie Buss. Smart move.
Yeah, it turned out pretty good for him.
Yes, it did. And then he takes over the Knicks, and he did what I always thought he would do if he got to run his own team. Because people used to tell me, he's the greatest coach of all time. I go, no, he's not. I think Red Auerbach is. He had to sell the tickets. He was like Callis. He had to sell the tickets.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't have a staff of eight to 12 people.
No.
He didn't have printout sheets.
No.
He had his own little movie projector. Mm-hmm. He had to draft his own players.
Yep.
I mean, he was a one-man show. He drafted Larry Bird when nobody even thought you could.
That's right. That's right.
He pulled the wool over everybody's eyes, and I thought there were other coaches better than him. I said, but you give me Shaq,
mm-hmm.
and you give me Magic, mm-hmm. and you're giving me Jordan, and you're giving me Scotty. Are you kidding me? You better win.
Mm-hmm. That is wild. That is wild.
The first half hour was so nice and solemn, and now I'm back to my old self.
Merv in the chat room just typed, "I'm still laughing, Mike."
True story.
Q from Sissy says,
"Who was I with? I think I was with Jesse Rogers.
Uh-huh.
There's like three of us. She walks right up to me."
Q from Quincy says, "Mike, you are crazy." I love it. I love it.
I still remember it like it was yesterday.
Yes.
I go, "Man, that's dangerous to do something with somebody like that," you know. And I, you know what? I kept everybody. You know what? I tried to be honest. I just said Phil Jackson. If it was somebody, I said basically Phil Jackson was with the Albany Patroons.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, Collins is out the door.
That's right. All right, Mike, did you see, with everything that happened yesterday, I bet the television ratings for the Pro Bowl were probably at an all-time low, but maybe not. But did you see any of that game? It was a 34-17 win by the South team. I'm looking at the wrong score, but that was the Senior
You're looking
Bowl.
At the Senior Bowl,
yeah, 38-33, the AFC beat the NFC. Did you see any of that game?
Not 1 minute. I'll tell everybody why. I brought this up on the Odds Couple the other night.
Uh-huh.
And I said this. The Pro Bowl's for the kids.
Yes.
The last time I really watched the Pro Bowl, Sayers and Butkus were in it. Okay?
Yep.
That's how long. Because it's for the kids.
Uh-huh.
But I guarantee you, tomorrow, the ratings for that, after what happened yesterday, should be at an all-time low.
I think so,
but it's
too.
It's football,
yeah.
And people like to watch it. But yesterday was a special case. There's no way I was going to watch the Pro Bowl when the Kobe Bryant stuff came down.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I do have a soundbite here from Eddie Jackson.
They didn't wait from the Pro Bowl for 10 minutes.
I know.
To tell you about Kobe.
Somebody,
it was just a shoddily run deal, man.
Somebody messaged me on that saying that the Pro Bowl game was on and it never broke away to go to like a live report.
That's the money.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Because T.J. Reeves, who's been a big Tampa Bay reporter for years,
mm-hmm.
basically said on Twitter yesterday, how do you have five stations? And they're showing the X Games, they're showing the Pro Bowl. They hadn't even broken to Kobe yet. And on Twitter, there was talk for 15 minutes.
Wow, that's
And
wild.
This is an all-sports. Look, I work for him. I'm just telling the truth.
Sure.
Your job... Okay?
Right.
If you have five stations, it's to get one of them on the Kobe Bryant situation.
Absolutely. ESPN News. Do they still have ESPN News? I don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they were showing something else. It's like they didn't have a plan.
Right.
How about this?
Right.
I'm watching the golf.
Mm-hmm.
And Tiger Woods. How do you not tell him till the end?
Mm-hmm.
He's playing golf.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Now, you're the caddy. You're Joe LaCava, his caddy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if Tiger, he didn't explain this, but I know some guys don't want to be told any kind of news while they're playing.
Right.
But wait a minute. About the 11th or 12th hole, he's hearing, do it for Mamba. Do it for Kobe. you know, when he's getting ready to putt.
Oh, my goodness.
He doesn't know what they're talking about.
Oh, wow.
But wait a minute. 5 minutes, so he gets done playing 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep hearing everybody going, well, we don't know if Kobe knows, if Tiger knows about this or not. Hey, your CBS, send somebody down there to find out if Kobe knows. I mean, if Tiger knows about
right,
it.
Right, right.
I mean, these people are all paralyzed in their seats, right? So then they meet him, Amanda Bolianis, I think her name is. She's a pretty good reporter. She brings it up to him when he comes off. He was told by Joe LaCava, literally 5 minutes before he went on CBS with an interview to talk about it, and I thought he handled himself beautifully.
Wow.
Even though he was in shock.
Wow.
Because how do you not tell him in the back nine? I don't care. He was four back anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it inspires him. Maybe he just goes into a funk. But you can't let him go 2 hours without knowing.
Yeah.
You can't.
You know, I think, first of all, perhaps the way I would have handled it was to tell the caddy and then maybe make it the decision of the caddy who would know
well,
Tiger.
Well, that's probably what happened.
Yeah. And so you're absolutely right, because perhaps if he knows, then he goes on a birdie streak to, you know, do something special. But, yeah, it's a tough call, Mike. It's a tough call. But
here, DJ Reeves. It mm-hmm. is utterly amazing that ESPN has five networks, one showing a taped UFC program, and not one of them has anyone in Bristol on set covering
wow.
or talking about Kobe.
Yeah.
Didn't have nobody.
Yeah. You know,
so, they're the mother nipple to me, ESPN. I work for ESPN 1000, but I'm being straight up. They should have broken a lot earlier.
I agree with you.
That was a dropped ball, and they know it.
Yeah. You know, there's all this cost cutting going on, so they probably didn't have anybody on at the studio to man the cameras or something like that. It's crazy.
You got to have somebody ready. And, you know, LeBron had just broken Kobe's record the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Very respectful. LeBron took it so hard, and I'm sure he did. The whole league's taking it. The whole country's taking it hard.
Yeah.
He's a major megastar, man.
Exactly.
I mean, he's up there with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's up there with, like I said today, with Presley and Michael Jackson and JFK and Will Chamberlain and Pete Maravich. And it's all of them. He's up there with the best.
Yeah. It's a tough call. I don't know. Hey, Mike, Tooch asked in the chat room.
I love Tooch.
On Wednesday's show, are you making a Super Bowl prediction?
Well, I'll be doing some props because I got to do it for Vegas Scores and Odds to get the game in the side.
Okay. Well,
and I'll have prop bets for everybody.
Excellent.
I'll have maybe heads or tails. How about that? Real scientific.
Well, it's funny.
You throw the coin in the air and you pray.
It's funny. And
you know what? I'll never forget. I bet a ton of money once on heads or tails.
Uh-huh.
And the guy is going, the ref's going, now this side here is going to be heads. And this side here is going to be, I go, would you just throw it up? And then he goes, then they throw the thing up. It seemed like it took forever to land. Then the gold ref takes his time reading it. I won the bet, but I almost had a stroke, you know, just waiting for it to read. But we'll have prop bets. Who's going to gain the most yards?
I love
who's
it.
Who's going to do this? I'll have it all set for Tooch.
I love it. And you know, it's funny. Again, we always tell people, you and I don't operate off a script here, but I did have on my outline here, I wanted to ask you about some of these really exotic prop bets that are up, and these are compiled by...
You got some already?
Just three really crazy ones.
Give me some crazy ones. This is a crazy show.
Someone is offering 9,991-1 odds on the Chiefs scoring exactly 4 points in the game, in the entire game. No team in the Super Bowl era, according to ESPN stats and information, has ever scored exactly 4 points. Now, that's not a bet that you would even risk a dollar on, right?
Nah, it's a fun thing, though. That's a crazy thing.
That is nutty.
You know, 4 points, I mean, come on, that's two safeties. There's no other way you can do it. That would be very, very weird. I think there could be a safety in the game. It always seems like something weird happens in the Super Bowl.
Really?
The squares, you know, we used to have squares at the hot dog stand. We'd be packed. People, and we had them taped right on the counter back in the 80s when they were busting people for stuff like that. So squares are huge.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I'll pick a couple numbers I hope you get for squares. But, you know, if you get a 9 and a 2, or if you get a 4 and a 8, don't worry. it may end up 28-24.
Exactly.
You know, so try to play squares, and we will have some prop bets. What other ones you got?
I got Kyle Shanahan is 100-1 to blow another 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. If you remember, Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons when they squandered a 28-3 lead to the New England Patriots in Super Bowl L1. What is that? 51. So 100-1 that the game will be 28-3 and with the 49ers leading and Shanahan will squander it. That's another one.
Can I just say how unfair that is? Shanahan's the offensive coordinator. He got him 28 points.
Yes.
It's a defensive coordinator who screwed everything up.
I agree with you.
What the hell is that, squander? He put up 28 points. 28-3. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what? That's a good bet, though.
That is a fun bet, that's for sure. And then
There's only one problem.
Uh-huh.
I've watched both teams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if either team's going to get that kind of lead.
Yeah.
San Francisco is a juggernaut, man.
Yeah.
And this, they got speed on the edges.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you can tell, look, when they run around against San Francisco around the edges, they have linebackers that could get caught inside, and they could still run outside and catch them.
Yeah.
Tennessee didn't have that.
Right.
Tennessee would get suckered inside, and then when somebody ran outside, they couldn't catch them.
Yeah.
Their linebackers weren't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco's got good enough linebackers, and I love how they're saying keep it in Jimmy Garoppolo's hands. Oh, is that what you really want? You want him to throw the ball? Because he's not – the guy had a great year. But why would you – I love how he only passes the ball 8 times, and they gained 220 yards on the ground. You know?
That's right, yeah.
That was unbelievable. We talked about that the last time.
Wow. All right, here's the last weird one that we found. The Superbook will let you bet on whether LeBron James will score more points against the Sacramento Kings on February 1st than Mahomes will have completions in the Super Bowl. Mahomes is favored by 1.5 completions.
If he gets 28.
Right.
And Mahomes gets 29, Mahomes loses.
Exactly.
Minus 1.5.
Exactly.
I like that bet.
That's a fun one.
That's a fun bet because you can watch the basketball game before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I like
you know?
That. I'm taking LeBron on that one because I think LeBron is going to go off and play special for in honor of Kobe.
Well, they're going to play Tuesday night, you know.
Oh, that's
right. They're
playing
the Lakers against the Clippers at the Staples Center.
Look at this guy. He knows everything.
Aldo, look, I know you're flying around in planes, getting massages, going to see the most talent around with owners, players, general managers. Somebody got to watch the fort. Somebody got to watch the fort. By the way, you did a great job. Danny Shemin did a great job. I love the Badgley. Ryan with – I couldn't tell which one was Patricia.
I had a little problem
with that.
That's right.
Patricia and Ryan looked like they were looking at each other going, you know, I think we look alike. Yeah, you do. You look like twins.
That's right. I got a funny story.
Great coverage. I always get a kick out of when the Bears bar room goes down.
Yeah, I got a funny story.
Anybody look worth a damn to us?
Oh, yeah, there's a number of players.
Somebody the Bears can take that
yes.
we can sneak up on?
Yes, I'm gonna give you a couple of names, okay?
Okay.
This quarterback, Anthony Gordon, who a lot of people are projecting he's going to...
Two touchdowns!
I know, two touchdowns. How about that? And I got a little soundbite. We talked to him. He is, Washington State. And he put up some incredible numbers in his senior year. He's only a one-year starter. He only weighs 199 pounds, so he's got to put on some muscle. He's a guy that you don't expect him to come in his rookie year to turn things around, but, boy, he looked really good. This is what he told us.
Good for him. He went up the draft board. Good for him.
Yeah, this is what he told us after the game.
Throughout my time in high school, we ran the run and shoot, so that's kind of, you know, a lot of moving parts in the offense. Got to hit guys in second windows, first windows, and stuff like that. So I think the quick release I attribute to baseball, and then being able to process information in combination to all the great coaches and great offense I've been in this far.
Yeah, he sort of self-scouted himself for us, and he's like Patrick Mahomes in that he throws the ball from all sorts of different launch angles, and he attributed that to playing second base and turning over double plays and throwing the ball, you know, from all sorts of angles. Man, I was really impressed, not only with his play, but his maturity. He was just such a well-spoken, great guy. I like him for the Chicago Bears as a developmental quarterback.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you this. If you look at the quarterbacks who are really starting to make a difference, not all of them, but look, Mahomes was a baseball player. His dad was a baseball player. Russell Wilson was a baseball player. The kid from Arizona is a baseball player, the quarterback. So that's no big deal. I think that's a strength now. And I think Mahomes' play has made a guy like Gordon even more valuable than he would have been, for instance, 5 years ago. The way Jackson's playing, the way Mahomes is playing. So I'm with you. My eyebrows went up when I looked at the Gordon box score.
Mm-hmm.
My eyebrows did go up, and then I had to go find out who the hell the guy was.
That's right.
Don't tell me the Senior Bowl isn't good.
Oh, my gosh.
It's good for those guys that don't get the coverage, and now everybody knows this kid's name.
Yes, a lot of small school guys did really well. Another guy that I liked a lot is this outside linebacker, because you can never have enough edge rushers,
agreed,
pass rushers, and so forth. Jonathan Grenard, from Florida. He didn't have great numbers during the game, but he had a great week of practice. I interviewed him on the first day that I was there and asked him, how badly do you want to be a pro football player? This was his response. How badly do you want to be an NFL player?
Oh, man. I've been dreaming about this day since I was a child. I mean, that's all I know. Football, I've been playing football since I was 4 years old. So to get the opportunity to play at this level with the best of the best and the things I've been thinking about all my life, it don't be huge for me.
He said that he had talked to the Chicago Bears and that there appeared to be some interest in him. And he said that he was never a Bears fan growing up, but if he's drafted by the Chicago Bears, he will be the biggest Bears fan in history. So keep an eye on Jonathan
Grenard. He didn't have a good game, though. I think that at the end of the day, you could look good in practice, but when the lights go on,
mm-hmm,
like if Gordon had a good week in practice but threw two interceptions in the game, we wouldn't even be talking about him.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Now, a guy that did have a good game was Bradley Anae. He's an outside linebacker from, I believe it's Texas, and he had 2.5 sacks.
I know who he is. I've watched him.
Yeah, he's a special kid, and this is what he told us immediately after the game.
Now, I've been doing this so long, and I wanted to come here to the Senior Bowl and prove that I'm the best pass rusher in the country. And, you know, I was able to come and make some plays. You know, I'm just grateful to be here.
We were right on the field seconds after the game ended, and we were able to grab
him. Look at you.
We had a blast.
I can hear the fans cheering. They're on top of you guys. That's awesome.
Yeah, the Bears.
And you know what? He did good.
He did.
He's going to go somewhere good, and he's going to make a difference, that kid.
Yes.
I like them with Texas.
Yes. I'm with you on that. Now, the knock on him is that, you know, he probably has to play defensive end because he's more of a 4-3 guy as opposed to a 3-4.
How much he weigh?
Only 265. So
that's not too bad. I don't want another Leonard Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I like Leonard Floyd, but you know, he's little compared to the, when you're doing an edge rush and you're going up against 320-pound offensive tackles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just hard. You know, so I think I like him. He's got to use his speed. Hey, Texas always has good athletes. They had a little bit of a downside, but I liked him. I remember watching him in a game. I bet he was out there.
Yep. Jalen Hurts, we didn't get a chance to have a one-on-one interview with him, but he's a quarterback that I've kind of eyed for Chicago Bears. He threw a touchdown pass, but his offensive line was terrible. I mean, that's why Bradley and I had all his sacks came when Jalen Hurts was in the game. But he had a tough week. There were funeral services for his grandfather were held in the middle of the week during practices, so it was a lot weighing on his mind.
He's a tough kid, though.
He is.
He's a tough player.
Oh, my goodness.
He gets knocked down. I saw in the championship, in the semis.
Yep, exactly.
He got knocked on his rear end. He keeps getting up. He's not intimidated. I mean, if the Bears, look, we want the Bears to take anybody that's worth a damn. If the Bears took him down the line, I wouldn't be upset.
Yep.
I think he's got that. But you know who he reminds me of?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Cordell Stewart?
Yes, absolutely. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Played for the Bears, played for Pittsburgh, had some good years. Reminds me a little bit of him.
Yeah.
Tough player, scrambler, gets up. Keeps on, ticking, even though he takes a licking.
Right.
And he made some big plays in his career. That's who he reminds me of.
And I'll tell you what, the people down in Alabama, they love him. Despite the fact that he left to play his senior year at Oklahoma, they were, I mean, you'd mentioned Jalen Hurts' name, and people were just praising him left and right. He was such a community leader and just an overall good guy.
Good kid.
I like, yeah, exactly.
He's a character kid, tough kid. wants to play in the NFL, I think he's going to be successful.
Yep. Now, my favorite moment was in the post-game press conference, Matt Patricia, who was the coach of the South team, the winning team, I asked him a question, and he paused. Well, I'll just play it for you. It was a funny moment.
Coach, any particular players you'd like to single out for their work this week?
Yeah, definitely.
Wise decision.
Of course, he was not going to reveal which players made an impression on him because those are the players he's going to target in the NFL draft coming up in a couple of months. So
I want him to be successful now because I saw him flying.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. The guy was cool to talk. Did Ryan know? Does Ryan know him?
Yes, they went to the same high school, and Matt Patricia dated Ryan Badgley's babysitter. So that's something.
Wow. Because they bet. I thought that was cool, and I thought it was cool for him to stop. So I wish him nothing but the best.
Here's a funny story regarding that. So Patricia was talking to some people, and then there was that moment there where Badgley had his opportunity to go up and say, hi, hey, do you remember me, and so forth. So it happens, and then I run over to with my camera to get a close shot. Well, the NFL Network guy got pissed off at me because I got in on his shot. So he comes over and practically pushes me out of the way to get
really?
To the place that I was. But I was going to get angry, but what ended up happening was that he got this great shot of Badgley over Matt Patricia's shoulder, and it was Badgley that was shown to millions of people around the world. So it was a great moment.
Wait a minute. Nobody, and I mean nobody, pushes around anybody from the Bears power room. If I had to come out there, that would have been fun for me to be there and watch some guy push us. That would have been fun, but you know what? You did the right thing.
Yeah.
That's why I don't go on these trips. I don't need somebody pushing one of my guys around. Forget about it. You're lucky. They don't know they pushed the Godfather to the bar room. They're pushing the Godfather to Bears bar room. Do you know what? Seriously. That's serious stuff, man.
Yes.
But that's cool, yeah. It was just, you know what? You guys covered it good. I think the Senior Bowl is as relevant as it's ever been.
Yes.
Compared to, you know, the East-West game, the blue-gray game. You know, those games. Remember all those games?
Oh, yes.
The Senior Bowl is the granddaddy of them all, because if you're a senior and you get called and you haven't had a lot of attention, I mean, I know it for a fact. If I was a senior and I had not been on national TV and I played for a team like Lehigh or Bucknell and I was good enough, I'd be there in a heartbeat. And that, I don't think there were many cancellations from seniors, were there?
No, there were three or four, but mostly it was because of injury or illness of some sort. But yeah, it's become a showcase event, and the coaches down there really love to coach that game because they get these great opportunities to work with the kids and coach them up during the week, and they get a really great opportunity. And then every team is represented there, and every team, the Chicago Bears, had their contingent of coaches. We saw Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniel, the offensive coordinator, which they were both there. And Mike, I have a theory. My theory is that I think, this is a little prediction, I think Bill Belichick is going to quit as head coach, become only the general manager and vice president of the New England Patriots, and Josh McDaniel is going to become the head coach. What do you think?
That's a good theory.
Right?
I like that.
Yeah.
Where did you pick that up?
That's came good. To me as I was watching.
Well, you draw them together, number one. But number two, I think, my think would be, you might be right, mm-hmm. but it doesn't happen until Brady leaves.
Which could be, soon.
But then I think McDaniel leaves.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
To some other place, because I've always wanted him for the Bears. And it didn't work out the first time. Where'd he go the first time? Did he get a coach's job? I'm trying to remember. Wasn't he a coach for a short time?
Josh McDaniel was head coach of the Denver Broncos when he when Jay Cutler left.
10 minutes.
Yeah, he and Jay Cutler got into an argument. They traded Jay Cutler, and McDaniel failed as the coach of the Broncos. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Well, he knew about Jay Cutler at least. But you know what? Yeah. Maybe Jay Cutler would have helped him in Denver though.
Yes.
But you know what? It's just one of those things, and you know what? I just think that. The New England Patriots are a tight end away from being relevant again. So we'll see what happens, because it's no mistake that the two best tight ends in football are playing in the Super Bowl.
How about that? What a great point that is, Mike.
Because we don't have one.
Yep.
We don't have a tight end. Trey Burton, to me, compared to the guys I'm watching, he's under. I mean, and the other guys, Shaheen, and all these other guys, they're not even in.
No.
They're not even in. They're a three compared to them, who are fives.
Mike, I saw three tight ends down at the Senior Bowl who are better than any one of the tight ends we have at the Bears.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. They're better. And you know what was Pace down there?
No, I didn't see him. Now, I'd be shocked if he wasn't there, but I did not see him nor Matt Nagy. There were tons of Bears scouts there, but I did not see those guys. But
wait a minute. You're telling me you and all the other guys from Barroom were out there?
Yeah.
And nobody saw Nagy or Pace, then they weren't there, man.
I don't think they were. I don't know. But they've got an opportunity to interview 90 seniors who are eligible for the NFL draft. You think they would be there, right?
Right.
Maybe they just didn't show up to the practices and they were holed up in some.
Belichick was at the practices, huh?
Yeah, he was.
Belichick's at the practices, but we can't find our Bear guys.
Right.
And maybe they were there, and if they were, then I'll say, hey, I was wrong. I'm going off information here. But I know my guy. I know my guy, Eldo. I know the Bears Barroom. It's called Bears Barroom. You're looking for Bears.
Nah, that's right.
And when you're finding, what other coaches did you see besides Belichick?
Oh, I saw a number of them.
So you saw a bunch of NFL coaches, but not Nagy.
Yes.
And maybe they were there, so I don't want to make too big a deal of it. But where were they hiding?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're right. Of all the teams that needs to show people that they know how to draft,
right,
and they got to get it right,
mm-hmm,
and you say there's three tight ends down there better than the ones we have, I would hope it would be them.
Yep, I hear you. You know, a funny story, Dan Marino, I saw him a couple of times. And one time, he was at the bar, and he was...
Is he so ruggedly handsome?
He is. He was ruggedly drunk. That's what he looked like.
Oh, yeah, he likes it. Looks like he's put on a little weight.
Yes.
Yeah, he's had enough.
I think you're right. He's had enough.
So he's at the bar feeling lit up a little. God bless him.
Exactly.
That only happened to me about 35,000 times in my life, so God bless. But I was with him at the National Italian Hall of Fame with Jimbo Colbert. We got toasty back in the day.
Oh, I love that.
Well, what's your Dan Marino? Where are you going?
Dan Marino.
Anywhere you go, you're praised.
I know. And free drinks, right?
One of the great, great guys who never won anything. Him and Ernie Banks.
Yeah. Went to the Super Bowl.
But at least he got to the Super Bowl. Ernie never even got into the playoffs because they didn't nail him. And then they didn't get into the World Series.
That breaks my heart every time I think about Ernie not Oh, my goodness.
You know, somebody asked me if I cried when Peyton died. Mm-hmm. And I said, I worked with him. I saw the whole thing from beginning to end.
Yep.
I saw him go from like 210 pounds to 150 pounds during that whole time. Me and Jigs were working with him. I didn't cry until he passed away. It was tough to do the show. We did the show. If you see the NFL Network, they show the Peyton press conference that was at what was the name of the place in Rosemont? It was an Italian place.
Was it Shoeless Joe's?
No. Carlucci.
Carlucci's.
It was Carlucci's in Rosemont. We did the shows every Tuesday. I saw him go from 210 pounds to 150 pounds.
Yeah.
I saw his eyes get yellow. So I actually lived the whole thing with him every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told me he was trying to find a doctor out of town, and that's when I knew something was wrong.
Mm.
I said, why are you trying to find a doctor out of town? Because he asked me.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know a doctor out of town? I says, no, I got a doctor in town. I got this guy, Serge Lipov. He's a great doctor. No, I got to go to a doctor out of town. And that's when I knew something was wrong.
Mm.
That's when I knew. Me and Jigs knew all along that there was something going on. And then when I saw his sunglasses, you know, I was on the right of him. And you could see in between his glasses and his eyes were yellow.
Oh, my goodness.
The white of his eyes.
Yeah, that happened.
It was brutal.
Yeah, that
was brutal.
Sickness really ate him up quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Oh,
it was a shame. It was absolutely brutal. Very, very sad. Very tough. So, I mean, he was as big as Kobe, except he wasn't a worldwide icon. But Walter Payton passing away at that early age was akin to what happened with Kobe, only Kobe, of course, was not due to natural causes.
Right, exactly. Everybody says they will remember where Kobe was when they heard news of his passing, and I will never forget seeing that press conference that you guys held with Walter when he announced his sickness. I'll never forget watching that and experiencing that. It was just so heartbreaking, unbelievable.
Yeah, it was. And me and BB had gotten close with him, and then it all ended.
Yeah.
And then it was all over.
Yeah.
Just like that. Well, that's why when I don't care how old you are, for you youngsters out there, get to where we're at. Don't make fun of where we're at.
Right.
You want to get to where we're at.
Right.
You know, every time you get in an argument with some younger guy on Twitter, hey, boomer, or hey, old man. Hey, you want to get to be an old man, okay?
You ain't kidding.
That's what you want, kid. When I was your age, I was invincible too. Now I had the 20. And by the way, can I just say I'm proud of my immune system?
Yeah.
I had the 20. I wake up Saturday morning at 3:15 in the morning. I look at the clock, and it starts coming out of both ends. I feel like crap. Mm-hmm. I turned white. I actually looked, and BB said my eyes were dark and my face was pale. I go, well, that's close to death. Anyway, I was going to call the hospital to get the... Oh, by the way, Aldo, isn't it great they moved the corona patient close to you?
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
He was downtown. They said, too many people. Let's move him by Aldo and off to the state. I called up. I said, I don't know if I have the coronavirus or not, but is there somewhere... Can I come to the hospital? They hung up the phone on me. We don't want nothing to do with it. So anyway, I feel better. But let me tell you, my immune system, I started feeling better the next morning at 3:15. Proud of my 24-hour immune system, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better, and a great job. It was really...
What a great job at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, and it was really special to commiserate with you about Kobe Bryant. Your thoughts about what happened with his passing and how the media handled that and so forth was, I think, special for everyone here at the Barroom to listen to. And I want also to let our listeners know, Mike and I had a goal of getting to 700 people on our VSAO Sports Twitter account, Vegas Scores and Odds Sports Twitter account. We're two away from 700. So if you're listening to this, get over to Twitter right away and hit the follow on VSAO Sports. Please do that for us. Vegas Scores and Odds, they're the sponsors of the show, and they do a great, great job. Mike, tell people again where they should go for their betting needs.
They should go to VSAO Sports, follow, or VegasScoresAndOdds.com. And by the way, with Gare's Barroom, we're at 10-3 now. So
nice. That's
just, to me, so gratifying for everybody. Everybody's band together. Try to get VSAO Sports up. It's a tougher hole because it's for wagering.
Right.
And it's for the hardcore wagering, but the casual wagers are getting in, and we're going to have gambling soon here,
exactly,
folks. Sooner or later, it's got to come in, and that's when I'm going to make my bones. But Aldo, great job today. It's great to be back with you.
Love you, Mike. We'll talk to you.
Sounds good, buddy.